All right, GM, GM, everybody. It's been a minute since we've talked. So welcome to another episode. Happy New Year 2024. Market Muse. Yeah, so let's get started. Since January 1st, ETH is up 11% from 2200. BTC is down 5.4% from January 1st. And it started off the year at 45K. The reason kind of I wanted to highlight this is we'll get into a little bit kind of on the future of what's happening, the ETF news and all that. But yeah, it's safe to say that probably the pricing on Bitcoin on the ETF news was already baked into that price. So that's probably why you could see some of this downturn. And with ETH up 11% and speculation around ETH ETF on the horizon later this year, we could maybe, you know, it is a different asset and all that, but we could make an assumption that the same thing could happen as well, where the price right now is going up, is rallying from all-time lows up to this price point. Obviously, we're still about 50% away from all-time highs, which was about $4,000-ish USD. So if the price keeps climbing, it's just something to keep aware of. You know, the price could be baked in. So when the news drops, you know, it could drop again. Not financial advice, but, you know, just something to keep in mind. Got three stories for you guys in the past 2 weeks. It's been a busy 2 weeks to start off the year. The first one I wanted to kind of call out is the future of crypto and how it's multi-chain. So one thing we've noticed in the past kind of 2 weeks or so, or even further back, but I think this is currently what's going on in the market as a whole, is we've seen tools like Phantom Wallet, which is from Solana, supporting ETH and BTC ordinals on top of Sol. We've seen Magic Eden support Solana, obviously from the go, but also BTC ordinals. We've seen Etherscan acquire recently the Sol Blockchain Explorer, so the equivalent of Etherscan, but for Solana. We've seen Vulcan, which is Discord token gating, and a bunch of other tools. Actually, now they're getting pretty big and doing a lot of good stuff. But you know, they're recently also starting to support BTC ordinals. Where does that kind of put us? Well, I think one observation that's interesting about all this is that as much as people don't, you know, whether you're ETH maxi, BTC maxi, or any kind of maxi, whatever, one thing that is kind of apparent is that Solana definitely, you know, skews a lot younger than my age group, which I guess we're the old boomers now at this stage. But they also do have a lot of VC money. So whether you believe on, you know, the centralization or the not centralization of Solana and their fast transactions, they do have a lot of VC eyes, a lot of VC money. A lot of the founders come from really big tech companies. So it is kind of interesting to see them expand from Sol to other tools, as opposed to, you know, MetaMask and OpenSea and all these other, you know, companies that had a really big lead when it came to the marketplace. You know, they haven't expanded really from ETH, except for Etherscan. You know, I think they see the writing on the wall and they're trying to get ahead of it as much as they can. And good on them. You know, it does seem like the future for all of us is multi-chain. I think you can't say that you're just going to stick in one blockchain and it is what it is. I mean, I think to reach critical mass, we're going to get rid of these tribal wars of which crypto or blockchain is better. I think users won't even know that we're even using crypto or blockchain technology. They're just going to know, you know, that they got their skins or their whatever for their video games or collectibles that are verifiable. And bringing us to kind of modern day, or just now in the present day, you know, artists are definitely at a crossroads. The crossroad being is, you know, if you got a lot of success in ETH, so obviously the ETH marketplace for NFTs is definitely very mature and has been maturing for the last couple of years. And so now, you know, a lot of artists are looking at, do they mint on Solana? Do they mint on Bitcoin with inscriptions and ordinals? And how do you do that right without alienating your current existing holders and, you know, further exacerbates or kind of creates this this roadmap that's very convoluted. So we recently saw, you know, Patrick Amidon, who had a really good drop on ETH Doppelganger, and, you know, he's been really pushing the boundaries on tech with Transient. You know, he decided to go Solana. A lot of artists are going Solana, Bitcoin. You know, they're all exploring different places. Some artists, like Kath, who's a photographer, you know, she did a Solana drop, I think a year or two ago. So like in 2022, 2021, probably. And back then, you know, a lot of people were attacking artists for doing Solana drops. And now the meta sort of changed a bit. So, it seems like that's like the cool thing to do now. And obviously they have their own culture, their own people, their own whales, all that. So the tech is kind of similar to ETH, but it's still not, you know, it is a different thing, different terminology, different everything that you have to kind of learn. It takes a lot of energy as an artist to, you know, get familiar and up to speed with that. If you want to do it properly, you know, if you just want to mint and drop and get your money, get your bag and get out, then, you know, probably it takes less mind power to do that. You just got to figure out how to mint, and that's pretty much it. But at least with big, like BTC, you know, there's size limitations, unless you're extremely rich or don't really care. There's a lot of technology in the BTC side that's different from the ETH side. So there's parent-child relationships, there's on-chain metadata, there is cursed inscriptions, so negative numbers. Yeah, there's a lot more going on the BTC side that they've had to get kind of creative to be able to have NFTs on it. So yeah, you know, it's, if you're a degen that's on multiple chains, then, you know, none of this probably scares you. But if you're a casual person, it's just a whole other new wallet, new everything that you got to learn. I mean, luckily the tools like Phantom, Eden, Magic Eden, Etherscan and all that, they're making it a little bit easier, or the barrier for entry a little easier. So, yeah, it definitely seems that the future is multi-chain, you know, as much as we don't want to admit that, if you don't, as a previous kind of person that used to be a BTC maxi, I'm okay with this. The future has been multi-chain for me for a very long time. I was a maxi on the BTC side. Anything else that wasn't BTC was, you know, quote unquote shitcoin for me. So it's definitely been a multi-chain world for me for a very long time. So I'm okay with experimenting and being up to speed with other chains. So, you know, I'm a big supporter of Stacks, which is the layer two from Bitcoin. That's been doing really well for me. And yeah, so that seems to be one of the metas. The other thing I wanted to call out for everybody is privacy coins. So second topic, as crypto goes mainstream, privacy coins are definitely at risk. And privacy as a whole is at risk. So obviously the big news at the beginning of the year is the BTC ETF got approved. What does that mean? So obviously the price of BTC definitely went up. It's gone down since, but it definitely went up. It's currently above $40,000. BTC, as most people know, is a transparent blockchain. So you could see, you could follow really the Satoshis really back to where they came from originally. So in some cases, you could go all the way back to the first block that they were mined from Satoshi himself. So essentially, we have zero privacy on there. ETH is the same way as well. So we had tools in ETH that tried doing this, and these same tools kind of existed in Bitcoin as well. So in BTC, we have CoinJoin, which you know, we all send similar sized amount of money. Think of like kind of washing money a little bit, not to evoke crime behavior, but that's kind of what it is. Think like a washing machine. Everything goes in. We don't know who got, you know, where, who gets what and what got what. So it makes it obfuscates it a little bit more. Obviously, it takes a level of diligence to be able to keep that money separate, because the moment you combine it with your money that hasn't been coin joined, then you've sort of lost that edge. So a little bit more complicated. Same with ETH. ETH has that as well with Tornado Cash. Tornado Cash recently, last year at the very end of the year, you know, they got into some legal troubles. They got banned. Some people got arrested. So privacy is definitely, you know, in danger right now. And the reason why I bring it up is Zcash and Monero both are getting delisted from Binance. So Monero's always had issues with centralized exchanges. They've been getting banned and delisted for years. You know, there was even a bounty from the IRS to crack the code or deciphering. And so companies could do blockchain analysis on Monero. They haven't been successful. I think the IRS put up even like a couple $100,000 for the person that could crack that code, and they haven't been able to, you know, crack that nutshell. Zcash, it's one of the other bigger privacy coins. They have a system where you could turn on, so it's like by option, you could turn on private transactions, or you could keep it public. So it's just a matter of you choosing, but even that kind of wishy-wash stance doesn't seem like it sits well with the SEC and the US government, and therefore a lot of governments as well. So they're thinking about delisting. So Zcash, you know, they talked about trying to be able to find ways to comply with the request from Binance, and also by the requests of the government, you know, through Binance. Essentially, Binance got in trouble here in the US, so it's pretty easy to kind of connect the dots that the SEC and the financial institutions and regulatory financial institutions here in the US have Binance kind of, they got them where they want them. So if they want to do business in the biggest market in crypto in the world, which is the US, then they sort of have to listen to them, which they're going to. There's a lot of money to be made as a centralized exchange. And so they're going after Zcash and Monero. You know, Monero was kind of like, they took it, you know, no news for them. They weren't going to change how the tool works or the crypto and their ethos and what they stand for. So they said, cool, we'll get delisted. Zcash was trying to make it more work for them. But, you know, even with the changes that they wanted to introduce, it seemed like that was not enough. So they're also getting delisted as well. So, you know, privacy is a big thing that I care about. So this is why I bring it up. So our privacy is definitely at risk with the ETH ETF potentially getting approved this year, you know, and maybe some stablecoin coming from the government. You know, privacy is a right, in my opinion, and not a luxury. And even if you're not doing anything malicious or illegal, you know, I still think you should be allowed to, you know, cash is pretty private if you interact with cash. So it should be the same way. Obviously, they don't like that, but yeah, you know, you don't have to be a criminal to like privacy, in my opinion. You could just like privacy to like it. All right, next topic. So, X copy Max Payne. So, for those not familiar, Max Payne is an NFT from X copy that dropped, I believe, 2 years ago now, in March 2022. I dropped her an ETH. Back then, ETH was, I believe, around 3,000, if I'm not mistaken. A little bit more than what it is now. The floor price on this piece got down pretty low. Got down to like 0.3, 0.28. Definitely below 0.4. Right now, it's hovering about 0.490, so about half an ETH or so. And we've been having a lot of burns. So max copy's gone, X-Pain's gone, or X-Copy has gone. Very Oprah Winfrey on this whole thing. So we've had about 4 burns now, which has brought down the supply of max pain about 15%. So, you know, what does this all mean? I've been trying to interpret this myself. You know, some collectors are happy with kind of what's going on. Some are not. I myself own 2 max pains myself that I bought, you know, mint day, so down in the hole on that one. But I wouldn't say I'm unhappy. I wouldn't say I'm ecstatic either. I'm kind of just trying to figure out where I sit in all this. But, well, one thing's for sure is the style's cool. I like it. The launching or dropping of these pieces so quickly next to each other, so 2 weeks, and essentially in 2 weeks this has all happened. You know, I'm trying to understand, was the Max Payne joke, you know, because people were saying when reveal, was that for this whole time that has passed and now the performance is done and now these burns are the result of that performance, or is there more there for collectors themselves? So the way these burns have been working is essentially you have to burn one piece plus some more ETH, so .1 ETH. And we've had 4 pieces. There was one that we had that was one piece plus .2 ETH. So not thing too crazy, but we're waiting to see when we'll have a, you know, multiple max pain burn. And I'll share my screen right here for you guys to see what max pain looks like for those that aren't familiar. So this is max pain here. Really cool piece. Definitely really like it. And then the pieces that have dropped, I will show them now. So we've had 4 pieces. Most of them have been pretty high additions, 500. This one sideways ended up being dropped right after Bang Bang. This one was the one that had .2 ETH plus the max pain burn, and immediately the sideways drop, which was supposed to be one of 500, but it only 420 people burned. This was the original one, the Oblivion. That was 500 pieces. And then this one right now is a quote-unquote open edition till the end of the year for people to burn. And yeah, I don't know, you know. I'm still trying to figure out where I stand with this. Let me know what you think. I'm kind of concerned more from the perspective of I'm more concerned from the perspective of one, I really actually like the piece myself personally, Max Payne. It's one of the first. It is the first X-Copy piece I ever got, so I don't see myself burning it anytime soon personally. And the reason kind of being for that, and I know that it's a different tool, is Lucrece had a similar drop and still does, called the Jack. So the Jack was like a timed open edition, and he's done a lot of burns since then. And one thing that kind of stood out to me about that, and again, 2 different artists, 2 different chains. That's on Tezos. This is ETH. Price points are different. Not trying to say that it's the exact same scenario, but, you know, just an observation for me, is that a lot of the pieces from those burns from Lucrece have gone below the price or the sacrifice that had to be done. So for me, example, my max pain is 1 ETH. And if I have to do another .1 ETH, that's 1.1 ETH. So about, you know, $3,300, $3,400 if I take in the original price. Obviously, ETH is ETH. Either way you slice it, it's still below. And the prices on these pieces are like half an ETH, .75. I mean, you could definitely get them all for under 1 ETH. So if there's four pieces or three pieces, you could get all of them really for under 2 ETH. And personally, I'd rather do that. I'd rather get them for 2 ETH and keep my max pains. I suspect that they'll go up in price just like the Jack. Shout out to the Jack. So I'm going to wait. And I'm going to keep collecting those max pains. I think they're going to be valuable. But there's a balance, you know. I don't know if the max pain journey is we want them to all go away. If this is it, who knows? Only XCopy knows. So we'll see. Let me know what you think. All right, to wrap up, got some notable sales and auctions. So I'm going to show her these. Two notable sales in the last 2 weeks is Last Prayer by Otherworld, sold for 23 ETH. Really dope piece. Very religious piece, but yeah, 23 ETH. So very nice piece. I really like this background back here. This sort of reminds me of, in photography, you can get a similar effect. Like when you are processing your images. So I really like this. Then Ripcash, system by Ripcash. Ripcash, who also recently dropped some pieces in BTC. Called Swarm. Those have been doing pretty well too. This piece here sold for 19.69 ETH. So decent chunk of change. Ripcash as one of the artists that has been dropping in Ordinals recently and quite a bit. It sort of fits with his ethos and style. So it's been awesome seeing him drop more on the BCC side. And he's definitely getting recognized for this. I think the BTC ordinal scene is definitely going to mature art-wise, especially as these kind of artists that are popular on the east side start minting and dropping on the ordinal side. There's two auctions right now going on. So Sotheby's is doing a BTC ordinals drop inscriptions. This piece right here, Far, the Genesis Cat from Taproot Wizards, is currently at $120,000 bid. It's actually a pretty cool piece. I kind of like it. So that auction's going down right now. And then my favorite for sure is the Lucrece Benediction from Between Worlds, 65K currently. The auctions for both of these, or the whole lot, ends January 22nd, 11 a.m. PST. You can take out an app to figure out when that is your local time. Really awesome pieces. Again, so Lucrece is dropped this on BTC as well. So if we have Ripcash, Lucrece, we have Neurocolor recently also dropped a piece. You know, I think the maturity over on the ordinal side is definitely going to be there. I mean, the same could be said also for Solana as well. So a lot of artists that drop on ETH are now dropping on Solana as well. The barrier's a little lower for that one. You know, there's not as much size limitation on that one. It's very similar to ETH, but for these Bitcoin drops, they're, you know, you definitely, unless you're extremely rich, you know, 100 megabyte file would, you know, cost you, or even a 1 megabyte file would cost you a lot of money, like half a Bitcoin just to mint, which is a lot to mint. But you know, so you gotta get your sizes down. But these pieces are great and give us a good insight or glimpse into what's to come on the Wardnell side. And I like Wardnells. So yeah. Thanks again for joining in, tuning in. I'll be doing these bi-weekly. Like and subscribe. I have a newsletter. And for those of you listening via audio, you know, you can check this out on YouTube as well if you want to give it a like, subscribe, leave reviews on the podcasting app on YouTube's. Anyways, thanks again.